NBA stud Eddie Aparicio, wise and bright, shares his thoughts, enlivens us with insight as we delve into the NBA's grand display, MVPs, and new faces lead the way. Everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and I am here with my co-host, Eddie Aparicio, El Matador de El Salvador. And this is Points on the Board, your sports show brought to you by the two Latino brothers. How you doing, my friend?
All good, Guillermo. How you doing, man?
You know what? Sports is my one of the greatest loves I grew up with, but it now comes second to politics. You know, as you get older, you start looking at what you're leaving, this or that. And it's been a big political week for me. The Republican primary, we do both libertarian and conservative politics here at Grundy's Media. So I went to the Libertarian Convention. California is one of the biggest hubs for libertarianism. The Republican primaries were this Saturday. So it's been a whirlwind. And I eat that up, Eddie. I eat that up. But sports is my bread and butter. Sports is my true love. In a sense, it's an escape. But sadly, politics have entered sports. So for the audience out there, Eddie, I don't involve Eddie in that. He's too nice of a guy. He has no interest in that. But I do Points on the Board clips and things and separate shows where I do talk about the intersectionality of politics and sports. And Eddie, that's what I've been doing for the last weeks. But let me ask you this. Have you recovered? And you know what I'm talking about.
From the Niners you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm good with it. I mean, they're going to be there again, man. They're a stacked team, and the only thing is that, you know, once Brock Purdy's contract is up for renewal, that's when their window, or I would say the window shortens. It will shorten, but they're going to have to change the complexion of their team just to be able to accommodate
salary cap.
That entire contract. Yeah. So
here's the dilemma they do face.
Yeah,
they're
ready to win right now. They're ready to win right now, and I think they're going to be there again next year, honestly.
I agree. But the catch turns to with Brock is, does he deserve a Mahomes-type contract, a Lamar Jackson-type contract, those players? Because at the end of the day, he acknowledges his skill set. And what makes – to me, I don't see any difference in Brock Purdy and Joe Montana in terms of athleticism. Yeah. I think with Purdy and Montana – I'm not saying they're the same player – but their strength and skill set starts and ends here.
Absolutely.
But they do have a decision to make in where do they value them. If they win a Super Bowl, they have no choice. But you're right. Yep. And I knew you'd be over it. I'm just giving you a little.
I'm over it, man. like I said earlier in your other podcast, the Kansas City Chiefs are my second favorite team.
There you go. Yeah. Like, okay. So let's get to it then, my friends. And don't forget, I'll give you the full lowdown at the end of the show, but you can check out this podcast and other podcasts at grumblingsmedia.com. But for right now, Eddie, let's get down to it. Let's have a little bit of fun. Mr. Aparicio create some controversy. Eddie wanted to do this as a weekly piece, but we just don't have enough time with so many topics. But I have not forgotten it. We are going to talk Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama. I want an update, brother. I want to hear your thoughts on their growth, their individual and team play, and more importantly, their leadership potential to grow and mature into the player these franchises hope they can. And after we talk about that, I want the most important answer in all the sports that comes with being a franchise player. Can that player carry the team? So what are we looking at here, Big Eddie?
So as far as who do I think is the better player right now, I think right now Chet Holmgren is on a better team. He doesn't have the pressure of carrying that team. He doesn't have all this fanfare that came for being the number one pick and probably – a transcendent player at that, like Victor Wembanyama. So there's way less pressure on him than Victor, although Victor has handled the pressure swimmingly. I mean, really, really well. Very much reminds me of how LeBron James handled things when he was the overall number one pick and highly touted coming out of high school. With all that pressure and fanfare, anybody, any kid could crumble with all that pressure. And LeBron delivered. He did really well in handling all that pressure. I see the same thing with Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama's got the world on his shoulders, really. He's got so much publicity, and it's international. It's not just the U.S. I mean, he came from
right.
France. He already played, you know, in the European League. And this guy, amazingly, he looks like he's been in the NBA for multiple years. He looks like a seasoned veteran. But the only he's challenged to be able to – he's got a lot of weight on him on that team because he's the best player on that team. Not necessarily the case for Chet Holmgren. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the better player on that team. So, therefore, he doesn't have that much to carry on his shoulders right now.
Okay, so looking at his growth from where Wembanyama is today – you can go back as far back as his European days, but from the player there to the player you see on the court, are you seeing a growth, a maturity level? And are you seeing him grow in front of your eyes? And as far as Chet Holmgren, you know, from Gonzaga to he was set back. What happened to Chet Holmgren is ironic because it also happens in the military academy. Sometimes you get great candidates who aren't quite ready, so they do a prep year, you know, and Chet Holmgren had a prep year in the NBA, correct? So those two players, based on where they started and where they're at today, have you seen the growth to where these two could possibly be the faces of not only their franchises but of the league?
I would say the Victor Wembanyama probably could be more the face of the league, in my opinion. I think he's a very mature kid. He's a good-looking kid, too. He's 7'4", and highly skilled. And, you know, but the thing is, he's got arguably the best coach that could ever be in this situation, and arguably one of the best coaches of all time in the NBA, and Greg Popovich. So, you know, he benefited from being in that situation, and you can see the growth. He is very, very, very mature. He carries himself very well with the media. He just looks like a seasoned vet. The kid is very, very, very respectful. And he's just someone that I think a lot of kids will look up to just because of his demeanor. He's just got that Steph Curry kind of demeanor, very easygoing, chill, not full of himself. You know, he's just very humble, and people like that. They gravitate to it. And I think he has that. He is that it factor, in my opinion. So
and let me interject, Eddie. Let me interject for the audience. When Eddie said he's a good-looking kid, Eddie may not have even realized why he said it, but that's a marketing point.
Absolutely.
When you have a good-looking person, male, female, it's just much easier to market. You know, Shaq was marketed a certain way. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady were marketed a certain way to their strengths. It's their strengths. Correct. On the court and on the field or wherever the, you know, sport it is, but it's also what strengths do they have off there, and they use that to brand. And you're right. God bless Chet Holmgren, that 7-footer who's going to become a multimillionaire as I live in obscurity. But he wasn't blessed with great looks.
No. But the thing is, he's got an edge to him. Something I like. I mean, he's got like a junkyard dog edge to him.
He's got that on court edge that when you see it, that passion.
He's got an edge to him, and he won't back down. And you know, he's just got like that. You know, I'm gonna dunk on you kind of personality, or I'm gonna go ahead and block your shot. You know,
exactly.
They're both similar style players as far as their skill set. I mean, this is the first time in the NBA history that this has happened, where you have two guys 7'2" and above that have the skill set of a guard and actually play defense very well as well. So this is going to be a great time for the NBA. I mean, these guys are going to be great ambassadors for the NBA moving forward. But as far as you asked the question, who do I think is better? I think right now, overall, I would say Chet Holmgren slightly. And the only reason I say that is because he's got more games under his belt. Not only in the NBA, but in the college, right? You know, Victor Wembanyama played in the European League, so he's got some experience as well. But Chet Holmgren, you can see his game is a little bit more polished, whereas Victor Wembanyama is very raw, but you can see he is getting it quickly. Greg Popovich is teaching him very, very well. You can see I would say he's probably the leading candidate to be Rookie of the Year, just because his – the way how he's doing what he's doing is like leaps and bounds above what Chet Holmgren is doing. I mean,
right.
You know, Victor.
Yeah. What you're saying is his natural talent. His natural talent.
His
is
natural
carrying
talent, him. But he's got, you know, he's got like he's got 10 blocks in games. So does Chet Holmgren. But the lines that Victor Wembanyama has, you know, for FanDuel points, I'll just give you an idea. Victor Wembanyama has scored almost 90 FanDuel points a few times. Chet Holmgren has probably had the most is maybe 60. That just gives you an idea of how many stats these guys accumulate, right?
Yeah.
So that just gives you an idea of all the ways that this guy helps to win, and he just that's Victor Wembanyama. That's why I think he's going to be the rookie of the year. But I think Chet Holmgren right now as an all-around NBA player is slightly better than Victor Wembanyama only because of the experience that he has from Gonzaga. And in the NBA, too, he's got, you know, essentially a year and, you know, some of the offseason from last year because he got injured with the Liz Frank injury.
So the two final questions before we move on. Victor Wembanyama played in Europe, and you correct me on this. I know there's various types of leagues in Europe, heck, depending what country you're in. But my assumption was he was a boy playing amongst men, meaning he was 17, 18, 16, but he was playing with grown men. I would imagine that kind of probably toughened him up much better,
absolutely,
much harsher than what Chet faced in college with kids his own age who weren't. I mean, am I looking at it wrong? Does that play a factor? And the final question is, looking at both of them right now, a year from now, 2 years from now, do you think they'll have the ability to put the team on their back?
Yes, but I would say more Victor Wembanyama more than Chet Holmgren, just because Chet Holmgren already has a superstar MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now. So he doesn't have to be the lead guy, whereas Victor Wembanyama is most definitely the lead guy in San Antonio. And the offense kind of runs around him too. So they know what they have in him. You know, San Antonio has some talent, but, you know, this guy, you can see he's leaps and bounds better than everybody on that team. He's just very, very good.
All right.
And Chet Holmgren is too, but he's got Shai. So, but like I said, the NBA, you know, they're in good hands with both these guys as ambassadors.
All right. For all right. Okay. Well, moving on. Thank you so much. Because next time, I found this great website, and I'll plug it when we actually do the segment, who has both stats comparing both sides. And we're going to pull some of those data out, and I'd like to get your opinion at the next update we do on these two cats. You know, but sure. Kudos to both of them. Young studs, the future of the NBA. So let's talk about the future face of the NBA. Michael Jordan, you know, then it was for a few years, Kobe, I guess, but then LeBron came into play. And now there's no denying LeBron's the face of the NBA. But LeBron's 108 years old. LeBron's still a young man, but he's like 38 or something, 40. His days are coming to an end. So let's have a little fun here. The future face of the NBA. Will it be one of the two rookies? You already said no for Chet, possibly for Victor. But let me toss you some names. I'm going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 names, 10. Oh, we got 11 names, so we may not make it through all of them. But I want to get – this is more like a rapid fire, and I apologize to the audience. It shouldn't be, but I didn't realize that's so many names. Give me your points on these people. Possible face of the NBA once LeBron and Steph Curry make their exit, all right? Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks, 4. His scoring ability, he has court vision, and he's a leader. Some people think that could be enough to make him the face of the NBA.
I think he has the potential to be it, but I think, in my opinion, Victor Wembanyama's ahead of him as far as being the face of the NBA. Luka Doncic, we were just talking about, you know, Victor Wembanyama playing in the European Pro Leagues. Luka Doncic played in the European Pro Leagues when he was 16 years old. You can see why he's so freaking good right now. Luka Doncic is really, really good. Probably one of the more unstoppable offensive forces in the NBA, and he plays at his own pace. I mean, he doesn't look rushed. The thing is about Luka, he's a big complainer. He complains to the refs all the time, man, and it's a bad
look.
So
did Michael Jordan. So did Larry Bird.
Yeah, but not like this guy. This guy is like a whole nother level, man. LeBron does it too. A lot of people.
Oh, he's the worst.
LeBron complains all the time, but Luka kind of like he just looks like he's crying all the time. But
he's whining. What you're saying, Eddie? What you're saying is he whines. He's not complaining.
Yes.
It comes across as whining. No, I get you. Yes. I get you. So I apologize, Eddie. We got a lot of names, so I want to keep moving. So my apologies.
Yeah, it's fun.
Luka Doncic, you whiner, Luka, whiner.
Yeah, I was saying, you know,
Jason Tatum, 4, Boston Celtics, versatile skill set. He can score, has defense, and maybe not in the playoffs, but he can come up in clutch performances. And the Celtics are actually viewing him as there's one of our potential leaders down the road, not just a superstar. Potential face of the NBA?
Potentially, but I would not put him above Victor Wembanyama. Right. I just think Victor Wembanyama's got way more gravitas to him. He's got more charisma.
So, okay, gotcha. That's what I wanted to hear. What do they have that player doesn't?
Jason Tatum does not have charisma, in my opinion, not compared to like a Victor Wembanyama, but he has a really, really good skill set. Probably one of the more well-rounded players in the NBA from, you know, playing both sides of the ball, being offense and defense. So,
exactly.
He has potential, but he's not the same as Victor Wembanyama.
All right. And this player, he's an explosive scorer. I guess he's a highlight reel dunker, athletic, and he exudes confidence. That is Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He plays the guard position. Potential face of the NBA.
Absolutely. The guy, that kid, he just exudes confidence. I mean, he's almost kind of borderline cocky, but he's got the play to back it up. And he's very athletic, big, strong kid, too. Good-looking kid, too. So he's got that going for him. Same with Jason Tatum. So, but if, you know, I would say that, again, Victor Wembanyama has more of the edge over Anthony Edwards, but I think Anthony Edwards is probably a close second, in my opinion, to Victor Wembanyama.
And we already talked about Victor, so we don't need to talk about him. But for the audience out there who hasn't watched him play, he is turning heads with his shot blocking, his versatility, and more importantly, his high basketball IQ. The one thing I wanted to tell you about Victor is they put him at center. I was watching about 3 weeks ago or something, and I was like, hey, that's not his position. You know? So that was fun to watch. Devin Booker, Phoenix Suns, he's a guard, he's a scoring machine. And I guess his playoff performances has elevated his status. And the reason I say that, Eddie, is playoffs is where the non-basketball fan tends to see you. For example, I'm the type of fan, man, it's a grind of a season. The last time, Eddie, I cared about a regular season playoff game was with the Magic Johnson Larry Bird rivalry when they played twice in one season. And that was back late 80s, early 90s, I think, you know, because the regular season doesn't matter to me. But come playoffs, people like me watch, and that's what I was reading on him. So Devin Booker, potential face of the NBA?
No, not in my opinion. I don't think, there's a certain charisma that people must have to be the face of the NBA. You got LeBron has it, Steph Curry has it for sure.
Yes.
Leaps and bounds, both of those guys. So that's what I'm kind of looking at is who does the NBA want to have that be that person? Luka Doncic definitely has it, but, you know, I think he just complains a lot, you know? And the other thing that, you know, here's the other thing I'll bring up. Does the NBA want to pass the baton to a European player?
That's what I was going to ask you later. I think they do. Because you know what? I'm being half sarcastic. In 100 years, 200 years from now, it could be the Chinese NBA. The NBA is going to go where the money's at, and it will become a worldwide game. You will one day see teams. You'll see the American Conference. You'll see the European Conference NBA. Because to me, you can do that with baseball and basketball. You know, you can't do that with football. The pounding these guys take, it's just not feasible, and you only play once a week. But, yeah, so I think they would because at the end of the day, all the NBA cares about is money. Most people don't realize a lot of leading actors in Hollywood, they're imported Australians or Englishmen. People don't realize that. These cats are pretty good. Man, I must have heard the term cat all weekend because that's what these cats, they can change their accent and most people don't know. You know? Okay, let's move on here.
Real quick, before we move on from Devin Booker, it's not against him. It's just that he doesn't have that panache. You know, he doesn't have that gravitas. But I'll tell you this right now. He's Clay Thompson. He's Clay Thompson 2.0 from a play standpoint. I mean, he can shoot just as well as Clay Thompson, but is more of a playmaker than Klay Thompson. He hasn't shown that he can hit the big buckets yet in the NBA Finals or in the championships like Klay Thompson, but he's got the skill set to beat Klay Thompson 2.0.
There you go. Okay, here's one. who is starting to become known, not just within basketball circles, but in sports circles. I'm not going to say beyond sports, but even people who don't play basketball but follow sports know who Joel Embiid, the Philadelphia 76ers center, is. He dominates on both ends of the court, and for a big man to dominate on the defensive side and to play well, I don't want to say that's unheard of, but, I mean, that's one of the awkward sizes to be a good defender. And if he stays healthy, he could be a cornerstone for years as an NBA player. Has he had the potential to be the new face of the NBA once LeBron and Curry go?
Yes, I would say probably third out of the top two. I say Wembanyama, then Anthony Edwards, and I'd probably put Joel Embiid as number three, just because he's got a lot of personality, right? He's got that look with that hair. He's a big dude. He's kind of, you know, he's, I want to say goofy, but he's not that he's goofy. He's just kind of lighthearted, which is cool. I mean, that's what people like. You know, he's kind of like that. But the only thing is that, you know, you said it, the health. The guy gets health. He gets hurt quite a bit, but when he's out there, he's unstoppable. Unstoppable from an offensive standpoint. He's too big for anybody to guard. Not even, you know, Jokic isn't really considered a great defender, but he can't guard him. He's too big and too strong. Victor Wembanyama actually blocked him a few times, right? But Victor Wembanyama is too small and frail, but he'll get his defense on Joel Embiid. But Joel Embiid, when he asserts himself, he's going to dominate. So, but I would say face of the NBA, I would put him at third right now.
Gotcha. And real quick, going back to Steph Curry and LeBron James, I would say LeBron James is more of the face of the NBA, but LeBron James, when I think of LeBron James, I think of him in that mid-lead, dominated on the court. And then when I think of Stephon Curry, I think of the humble individual. The humble individual who you look at, the bullies pick on him, then he just destroys him, you know? My point being is there's different strengths in each person that can become the face. It doesn't have to be – it's not a stereotypical type player who can become the face. Now you're gonna have to help me here. I'm struggling with this Oklahoma City Thunder. He's a guard. Shai
Gilgeous-Alexander.
Thank you. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He quietly has developed into an all-around talent with smooth work ethic, strong work ethic. Would you agree with that statement? Is he a potential future face?
I would say yes, but probably lower down the list from the other three players that I've already mentioned. His skill set is like he's another guy who's just so silky smooth with his game that nobody can stop the guy when he wants it. If he's on from the outside, nobody can stop him. He's that good, and he's long, right? And he plays defense. Right. He's a really good defensive player. So he's an emerging star for sure, but I don't see him being – the face of the NBA. I don't think he has that gravitas, in my opinion.
Gotcha. And for the audience, too, you know, we're just having fun here. But the worst statement that can be made on any of these players and have been made over and over and over in the past for the player never to fulfill expectations is when they compare you to Michael Jordan. You know, that's Michael Jordan. You know, that's a lot of weight to be put on somebody. Okay. Let's go to the guy you just sat there and said has no game defensively, Nikola Jokic. Jokic, right?
Jokic.
Denver Nuggets, Jokic. He's a center. He's already an MVP, so can it be the face? He combines passing, scoring, and basketball IQ. And maybe you can explain it to us briefly, but he has a unique style that sets him apart. I have no clue on that. So, but can Nikola be the next face?
I would say because of his skill set and talent, he has the potential to be. Again, does the NBA want, you know, I already asked this question. Is there an appetite to pass the baton to a European player? Possibly. This guy definitely has gotten, you see commercials about him now with hotels.com. You know, you're seeing, you know, getting some recognition. You know, he's got a cool little accent, you know, Serbian accent. And, you know, he's very, very easygoing. A likable guy, you know, right. He doesn't take himself seriously. As a matter of fact, he doesn't like being in the limelight. You know, he doesn't like, you know, people recognizing him. He just wants to kind of blend in with the crowd. He's just that type of guy. He doesn't like being, you know, pointed out and in the crowd. Not that he's not willing to shake hands or, you know, take pictures. He's just that type of guy. He doesn't need to be in the limelight. He's that personality. And that's endearing for people, you know. So I would say that he has potential, but I would say that the other three are ahead of him, in my opinion. But his skill set make him very much a part of the conversation.
There you go. Yeah, you know, he has a lot of detractors. Whenever I see an article or when he won the MVP, a lot of it got tribal, you know, because he's white. A lot of it, what I'm saying is there's controversy seems to follow him at times, not of his own doing, but he seems to draw that at times, you know. And that's not the type of individual the NBA wants to have a face of. You know, they want the face to be somebody everybody loves. He's beloved. He's loved or well-respected, you know. Here's one. And I just screw up his last name. The Milwaukee Bucks power forward and small forward Giannis
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Like Jokic, he's already a champion. He's also a two-time MVP. He has unmatched size, skill, and work ethic. And to be quite stunned, Eddie, I thought they'd be doing better as a cohesive team this year. But they have a lot of drama. But that said, he seems to be a stand-up guy here, the real deal. Could he be the face of the NBA?
I would say, you know, if we're talking about, like, if LeBron and Steph Curry were to walk away tomorrow, he is the face of the NBA right now. After if those guys were to move away tomorrow. When you ask the question, I'm kind of looking beyond, Giannis, because Giannis has already established himself in the NBA. He's been in the NBA, I think, 10 years now. And so he's already, you know, a star, and he's got a lot of personality too. Really, really good personality. So because of that and his skill set, he's definitely the face of the NBA if LeBron and Steph were to step away tomorrow. He definitely already has that right now. He's already a recognizable face of the NBA right now, along with LeBron and Curry. Is it that LeBron and Curry have been in the NBA longer than him?
He's a small market, Eddie. Milwaukee.
Yeah. But he's got a lot of personality, and he's so freaking good. We haven't seen a talent like this at this size, that tenacious on both ends of the floor. He's unstoppable as an offensive guy, and he doesn't even have the greatest shot in the world. But once he goes downhill, you know, he's got the ball in his hand and he's running at you. He's like LeBron. He's like a freight train. But he's got these funky long moves that just, you know, he's hard to stop. You know, he's just that type of guy. And defensively, he's a beast. He's like Kawhi Leonard 2.0, honestly, from a defensive end. He's really
good. Well, the sad thing, he's been in the league 10 years, so they'll probably want somebody younger when they start looking.
Right. And that's why I would say he's probably in the same level, similar level as LeBron and Curry. Not quite, but he's almost there just because he's been in the league already for so long. So if I were to rank him, he's number one right now. Wembanyama is number two, and then I would say Anthony Edwards is number three, and then Joel Embiid number four. Right now.
Yeah. You know, and the people, it's not like the NBA picks somebody to be the face. What happens is they kind of notice the popularity of a player. A team starts winning, and somebody in the PR department, we can market this guy, we can do this guy. So this isn't an arbitrary decision. This is Mother Nature working its magic, and everything's dependent on the place and time. So, for example, I always looked at Isaiah Thomas as the equal of Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson. But the face of the NBA was Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. I'm sorry, not Michael Jordan. Larry Bird. I'm sorry. Larry Bird.
Magic Johnson.
But I always looked at Isaiah Thomas as their equal on the court. You know, and maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But my point being is it was that rivalry. It was the two college superstars going into the NBA and continuing. And that's what I mean by it kind of worked itself out, and the NBA capitalized on it.
Correct.
You know, that's Magic correct. Was an extension, or Magic was the key that unlocked Showtime. Larry Bird was the key that brought Boston back to prominence. So when I say the face of the NBA, I'm not talking about you. You're the face of the media. Get over here, man. Get over here. Drop. Give me 20. I'm talking about how Mother Nature works its magic. The reason I say that, I'm coming to our last candidate who isn't in the NBA. And I don't know if he should play. He's already had a jab or had the vaccine shot once and fallen the had issues with it. And that's Bryce James, USC Trojans, point guard and shooting guard.
LeBron James, Bronny James is his name.
Yeah, exactly. Bronny James, LeBron's son. He carries a family legacy. You know, I don't know how good he is for two reasons. I never watch him play, but logically thinking, I'm like, man, if you were a superstar, you wouldn't be going to USC. You'd be going to some bigger college, do your 1 or 2 years and get out. But I'm not saying he's not any good. I'm saying I don't know. But he's got a great name, Bronny. That's just a cool name, they'll market. He's a James, so the pedigree is there. What do you think?
No, not even. I mean there's even talk that he might not even get drafted in the first round. I think teams who may, let's just say LeBron James was a free agent, and I don't know if he is or isn't next year. I don't know what his terms are, but you know, there, it's well known that he wants to play with his son. And I would say that, you know, if LeBron James was about to join a new team away from the Los Angeles Lakers, that maybe that GM might take the shot and draft Bronny James just to entice him to come over to, you know, that
right.
club, right?
Right.
But as far as, you know, him being a face of the NBA, no, he doesn't have, you need to be good. I'm not saying he's good, not good. It's just that, you know, you have to establish yourself in the NBA and in college. And I don't think he's established himself as the best player in college right now. I think that's what it takes for him to be noticed. He's right now more noticed because he's the son of probably the most famous NBA player in our generation.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that's why he was mentioned. That's why his name fell into my lap. And again, it sounds silly, but the NBA doesn't dictate who is a face, outside forces, storylines, reputations. Right. You know, that tends to come together. To the detriment of Isaiah Thomas, he had none of that mattered enough compared to Magic and Bird. And people, Eddie and I, our heyday in terms of being young and dumb and strong like Samson are over. We're more getting to the elder stage. But there has never been in the history of basketball what happened in the 80s when Magic and Larry and Bird, Magic and Bird, they're not even their names, saved basketball. Again, if you watch basketball, you had to wait for tape delay at night. So it was a magical period. And then with show, I mean, it just, you had to be there to experience it. All right. Thank you, Eddie, sir. So out of that list, we got Anthony, potential faces, and Eddie's not saying they are. Like I said, there's too many factors up on topic. Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic.
He's like fourth. I would say in my order.
Oh, no, I'm just tossing names out there. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is that right?
Yep, Antetokounmpo.
And obviously, who I would say is the leading candidate, though, Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
You know, but who knows? Let us move on to our final segment. We're going to have a couple of quick hits. I wanted Eddie to talk about this last week, but we did run out of time. I'm not a grade A basketball fan. And that's why I played the host to Eddie, the analyst here. But I do notice things. I do a lot of research. And one thing that did stick out at me was when I saw that Klay Thompson had lost his starting job to a rookie, Brandon Podziemski. Can you talk to me about that, Eddie? Because that seemed to me was big news, but I just saw just a couple of articles on it.
Yeah, it's no secret that Klay Thompson has been struggling this year. And a lot of speculation is because it is a contract year for him this year, right? And the Warriors did not re-sign him, re-up him last offseason, knowing that, you know, his year was coming up this year. I think that, you know, the Warriors are taking a calculating, they're taking a calculated risk right now to kind of wait and see, because it might kind of piss him off, right, because of his legacy with the Warriors. But, you know, he likes staying with the Warriors. He likes to play with Curry. So, you know, I think he swallowed his pride a little bit. I think Steve Kerr, you know, approached him and just said, hey, look, you know, we need you to kind of get back to your normal self. We did the same thing with Andrew Wiggins. He came off the bench. You know, you can still make a great NBA living if you were to stay on the bench. But, you know, he pretty much told them, you know, we're going to try this out for a little bit and see how it goes, right? And if you find your game, man, you know, this is fluid. We can go ahead and bring it back as a starter, right? So I think the move has been very, very well received by Clay, and I think he's accepted it. I think initially it was kind of a, you know, it affected him, it affected his pride, you know. I mean, he's got a lot of pride. He's very competitive. But the thing is that, you know, he knows that, you know, the time is running out for that team to stay on top. They have definitely made some strides over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, he's had examples of this in some of his past teammates, namely in Andre Iguodala, who was an all-star, came over from the Denver Nuggets at the time and swallowed his pride and came off the bench. And I think that really unlocked the Warriors to become the team at that time being that dominant, because you have an all-star coming off the bench and, you know, essentially being another a facilitator with what Andre Iguodala did for that team. The same thing is kind of happening, not necessarily from a facilitation standpoint, but you got, you know, a former all-star, former champion in Klay Thompson now coming off the bench and generating that offense. And it's happened now. I think what's happened is that it's unlocked him. I think he's gotten relaxed. He's now being able
pressure.
To score. Yeah, way less pressure. And he talked about it just after the game tonight, because they won today. They won tonight against the Washington Wizards, and the Warriors were on the road in Washington. And he talked about it after the game. He's like, you know, I just feel like, you know, I'm more relaxed. Because, you know, when you're a starter, you kind of sense a little bit more pressure, you know, to kind of perform. But when you come off the bench, it's different. You know, you kind of, so I think he's finding himself again. And I think he's getting his confidence back. And I think this is a great move. I think this is going to stay, honestly. I think that it's unlocked him. I think he's embraced this role now. And I think that they're way more dangerous now, especially when now they have Chris Paul coming back. And he played tonight. And Chris Paul played awesome. So, you know, you have Chris Paul and Klay Thompson in the second unit. I mean, that's two Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. No other team can say that in the NBA. So the only challenge with the Warriors is that they're doing this a little bit too late. They have a lot of catching up to do. But and they don't have that much size, but they are deep, super deep, and super talented. So I think this we're going to see in the next 23 games I think they have left, or in that range, you know, whether they can climb up the standings and do well in the playoffs. Because I know if I were Oklahoma City, Minnesota Timberwolves, or the Denver Nuggets, I would not want to face Steph Curry, you know, in the playoffs, and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green again, because they are just still dangerous.
Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong. Actually, I'm asking because I can't remember. I remember one championship series with Golden State, and I believe Andrew Wiggins was coming off the bench and just tore up that final series. I mean, his name became known. He became one of the standout players in that series. Was that the situation where they had benched him? He was coming off the bench because he was up for MVP. I don't know if he won it, but that series he was up. I mean, that's how good he was playing and dominating. When was that?
That was the 2022 finals against the Boston Celtics. That whole play, I mean, that's his first year. That was his first All-Star appearance, actually, was that year. So he became an All-Star after being in the league. I think he's been in the league for like 8 or 9 years in that range.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while. But he definitely was considered the second best player on the Warriors during that run next to Steph Curry. And if Steph Curry didn't, you know, have the game that he did, or the series that he did against Boston, Andrew Wiggins would have been the guy who would have won MVP. But Andrew Wiggins was the starter. He didn't come off the bench.
Okay, gotcha. I couldn't remember. But again, you asked me Super Bowl, I'll tell you. You asked me basketball, baseball now, no. I used to be able to tell you. All right. Well, that's good info because Golden State's window is most definitely closing. So now it's they got to work different formulas, and it seems like this formula
Correct.
Is working very well for them.
It is right
All
now.
Right,
yeah.
Sir. Let's move on to our next quick hit. I saw a story and I found it befuddling because, like, no way. Why would you sit there and make the rich richer? You know, LeBron's trading I saw an article talking about before the trade deadline potentially trading LeBron to the Golden State Warriors, and you told me that was true. I mean, that had been that was an actual topic.
It was real, man. You know, it was at the time the Warriors, you know, right before the All-Star break. You know, they actually started turning things around, but they were still, you know, I think they were only one game above 500 at the time when the All-Star break came. But prior to that, the week, you know, maybe a week or two before that, this is when a lot of these discussions on trade, you know, happens weeks before the All-Star break, right? And I think because the Warriors were struggling, to find their identity. They, you know, Andrew Wiggins was struggling. Klay Thompson was struggling. Then you had freaking Draymond Green being suspended multiple times. You know, he actually, at the time, I think, was suspended more games than he actually played. So they were struggling, and they were trying to find an identity. And I think, you know, Joe Lacob is the type of owner that, you know, he calls himself Joey Lightyears. He thinks that his organization is lightyears ahead of everybody, you know, and, you know, who can argue that after four championships, after he took,
yeah, you can't.
You know, 10, 11 years ago, he got mocked for it. But, you know, he definitely wants to get, you know, he's paying the highest payroll in the NBA or the Warriors. So he's in the luxury tax right now, and he's paying it. But he wants to win. He's willing to pay to win. And right now, he's paying luxury tax for a team that's barely over 500. He definitely wants to find a way to make them better. So definitely, they were making some kind of call. They were making the calls. It was real. They reported here locally that was real. Now, they couldn't make it work, I think, because the Lakers wanted more than the Warriors were willing to give up. And the Warriors weren't ready to do that, especially part ways with some guys like, I think Klay Thompson had to be involved. I think, Jonathan Kuminga, who's an up-and-coming star for the Warriors. And there were a few other guys that were, of course, Chris Paul, because he's got an expiring contract. But there's a lot of scenarios that were playing out, but the Warriors didn't want to, you know, they felt they just wanted to kind of kick the tires and see what was possible. And the Lakers and Warriors were kind of looking at possibilities, but in the end, the Warriors didn't want to. It was too much for the Warriors to take on LeBron at this time. Now, could that change in the offseason? Potentially. But, man, I'll tell you, as a Warrior fan, I wouldn't want LeBron on the team, even though if he's freaking awesome. It's hard enough for me to see Chris Paul on the Warriors, right? But
screams of the player who went who started out with Seattle, Oklahoma, Kevin Durant.
It just
reeks of the same thing there, you know. And in LeBron's defense, and I say defense because every player wants to go out on a high note, you know.
Maybe he sees
that I win that, I can retire, or I had the option to retire, you know. Maybe that's the case. So, but as far as playability, you said you didn't want to see it, but. Do you think that could have vaulted them into a legit contender this year?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it depends on who's left behind, right? I mean, you know, if you're going to get rid of a Klay Thompson, I mean, Klay Thompson is a floor spreader. I mean, he can shoot just like Curry. And the reason why the Warriors' offense is the way it is because they have shooters like Klay and Curry on the same team. Now, LeBron can shoot too, but not in the same level as those guys. LeBron is more a facilitator now, and he's a damn good player. I just don't know who would be left. And I think as most Warrior fans, if you were to ask them, they'd probably go, man, I don't know if I could see him on the Warriors, man. But I think they would accept it depending on who was left. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you have a LeBron and a Curry, you know, that team's going to be legit. Just like LeBron and Anthony Davis, they're still – you know, contending team, although, you know, they're kind of so far down the rankings. They're, I think, number 9 right now, and the Warriors are number 10. Although I think they might be tied because the Warriors played tonight and the Lakers did it. So I think they might be tied for 9th right now. But, yeah, in the end, I think, you know, Lakeham is going to try and make his team better, and this was a way to try and make them better. And I think, I don't think it's over. I think there's still potential conversations happening in the offseason. I think it all depends on what happens with LeBron and James, too. And, of course, that LeBron maintains his health as well. So, but it was an interesting story, and we'll see where it goes in the offseason.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Eduardo Aparicio. Next week, Eddie's going to dig into the top 6 Hall of Fame finalists, talk about the careers, who deserves to be in there out of that group, who maybe shouldn't have over others. And we're also going to talk about – now, Eddie – You know, Big John Georgopoulos, for the audience out there, he is the host of our Free For All podcast. It's the Libertarian podcast, and he was one of the original hosts for Points on the Board. He's going to come on and talk about Ole Anderson and his death and his passing. Big John is actually a big wrestling fan. He actually, and he'll tell this in more detail when he comes on next week, or we may shoot it separately. His time is so limited. I may just pull him into a segment and shoot it. But he created one of the first wrestling computer games, Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars, and it was endorsed and the official game of Sergeant Slaughter. So he knows all of this inside and out. and the Anderson brothers, great legacy, great history. I'm a big wrestling fan, but what we debated, Eddie, is it's choreographed, but it's a sport in the sense you got to be in shape. I mean, these guys are flipping, falling. I mean, the outcome is choreographed, but they are body slamming. If there's no tricks, they're getting, you know, they're going through all that. But at the end of the day, because the outcome is predetermined, where would you put it? Under sports or under entertainment? So would it belong in the Points on the Board podcast or the Red, White, and Rude podcast that deals with entertainment and pop culture and things like that?
Good question, man. I would say it's more on the entertainment side, in my opinion, than sport, because it is choreographed. I would consider it more of a sport if it wasn't choreographed. So, but yeah, these guys are athletes, and they have to be tip-top shape to do what they do. I mean, these are big, strong guys doing flips. These are like 250-pound guys doing flips and all kinds of weird stuff, you know, to knock people out. And you can see by how they're hitting people. They're not really trying to hit them hard. If they did, I mean, a lot of these guys have been knocked out. But that's the reason why I would probably put it more on the entertainment side than the sport.
I agree.
It is scripted and choreographed.
I agree. But at the end of the day, looking at the demographics, the kids who love wrestling, they're actually sports. They fall in the sports demographic too. And our generation, we're probably the last or second to last generation where now everybody knows it's choreographed. But prior to that, a lot of people believed it was. I always knew it was choreographed. I don't know why, but I always knew. But we kind of put it under sports because that's still the mentality. But I'm with you. It's more entertainment. But either way, next week, the MVP talk and some wrestling talk. And the wrestling talk is going to be probably a semi-regular segment only because we're at that age where the great icons from the 80s that built the wrestling empire that you see today with WWF, they're all in their 70s and 80s and starting to pass. And Eddie, John's, we're trying to seek one out, the interview, the guy who, excuse my French here, who bitch slapped John Stossel in the ear, you know, we're trying to get him to do an interview. And I mean, he went and became a bounty hunter after he was blackballed. Oh. Yeah. So there's some great stories there. We're hoping to bring that to the forward. I don't want to keep dragging the show out, but I'm pretty excited about that because it's a fun topic. But Eddie, as always, thank you for your NBA knowledge here. And next week, we'll get together. And for the audience, do not forget, you can catch this show on Grumblings Media along with our other podcasts, our libertarian podcast, our pop culture entertainment podcast, our political podcast that deals mostly with Republican and conservative subject and topic matters. All at Grumblings Media, as well as YouTube and Rumble, under the profile Grumblings Media, and your traditional podcast outlets, Spotify, Pandora, Google, and Apple. Eddie, my friend, I will see you next week. My name is William Del Pilar. This is Points on the Board. Eddie, good night. And to the audience, we bid you adieu.
Good night, Guillermo. Good night, audience.